for them, and they'll just keep improving and getting better all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. I think the offering next week is outreach. Is that correct? Okay. So you can be ready for that and help us do that. Say, thank you, Pastor. There's no more pledges. All right, you weren't going to do it anyway. So we're starting a new series, about maybe 3 weeks, we'll see. And it's entitled Turning Points. How many know we're at a turning point? Amen. Somebody after church told me, you know, that's the same thing as Charlie Kirk. Yeah, I know. So I'm stealing that from him. Amen. Yeah, turning points. We're in this season. And I think it affects churches all over the world, especially in the United States. Things are happening all over the place. And we can get into a lot of things, and I can give you a lot of evidence of it, but let's just get into this. And I want to title this first message, The Days of Elijah. We are living in the days of Elijah. Amen. Did we pray? Did I pray over that? Okay. Do it again, right? If you don't remember, you need to do it again. All right, y'all pray for me. I apologize for all the confusion over there earlier. I was just really lightheaded, and I don't know. It's not sugar, and it's not blood pressure. Those are perfect. I was at the doctor last week, and it's perfect. Nothing. So I don't know what causes that. What caused that? But I'm feeling a little bit better. Your prayers are working. We'll get through this. Amen. Amen. If I get too dizzy, I'll sit down and preach. Days of Elijah. We got to go to Malachi chapter 4, 5, and 6, chapter 4. And this is one of those scriptures that over the years we've preached on many times. One of 10 or 12 scriptures that are just kind of crucial and central to our ministry here at Journey. Behold, I will send you, say send you, Elijah the prophet. He's actually going to, now we know Elijah's not coming from the dead right now, but how many know the spirit of Elijah is coming up before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord? And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. There's going to be a reunite. There's nothing more important to God than families and marriage and children and the extreme idiots. Maybe I shouldn't have said idiots. Heathens. How about that? That is exactly what they're attacking. They're attacking family. They're attacking marriage. They're killing babies. This craziness is going on, but God says, "I'm going to come back and I'm going to heal things," and that's the role, that's the job of the spirit of Elijah, and that's coming. But listen, that means the power of Elijah is coming. Come on, the power of Elijah. Let's look at that scripture in 1 Kings chapter 18. Some of you know exactly where I'm going. So Ahab, King Ahab, sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions?" I want to challenge the church today. Not just this church, but the church. It's time that we decide who we are in God. It's time we decide whose side we're on. We need to decide what's right and what's wrong and take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why halt you between two opinions? I don't know if everyone's going to like this sermon today, but I don't care. You pay me to preach the truth. Woo! If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Let's see what happens here. They don't want to answer him. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450, kind of outnumbered. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wool, on the wood, and put no fire under it. The problem with a lot of churches today is they're faking the fire. They're lighting their own fire and claiming it's God. Elijah said, make sure there's no fire. We want real fire from heaven. He said, then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. They finally speak up. So they took the bull which was given them. They prepared and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped upon the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them. You know what? So it's okay to mock these people. Where's your power? Where's your God? Woo. Cry aloud. He's a God. Maybe he's meditating. Maybe he's busy. He's on vacation. Cry aloud. Cry aloud. Maybe he needs to be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. The power of the enemy is limited. But this, once again, we are living in a time of confrontation. This is a time of confrontation with the enemy like we've never seen for hundreds of years. The enemy has arisen, but we have the word. We stand on the word. One man said, yeah, and then somebody, yeah, but the Bible's been around for, listen, the word, I want you to get that. The word doesn't get old because it is timeless. That's all I get? Yes, you ought to come back for that one, I tell you. Listen, the Bible is not about what happened. The Bible is about what always happens. And what always happens is the people of God are in a conflict with the enemy of our soul. Sometimes we just forget about God through the week. We just come to church on Sunday. But listen, they're going to out you. They're going to figure out what you believe and what you stand for. And I know some of you have been hiding out at work or hiding out in the marketplace. But listen, the darker it gets, the brighter your little candle. And you're going to start standing out in this world. And there's going to be a conflict between us and between the powers of darkness. If you don't think the enemy hates us, just because you're a Christian, you hadn't been awake very long. Romans 15 and 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I want you to hear something. The old gods, and we see this on TV about, the old-time gods, right? And we hadn't seen that for centuries because Christianity has displaced these old gods. And we don't talk about, the Norwegian gods. By the way, go Vikings. I see some of you out there. Vikings are going to beat the Browns. Don't worry about it. All right. We talk about the old Greek gods and Zeus and the Roman gods and all these gods that were around when Paul was preaching, when Jesus was preaching. But since about 300 AD, those gods have been displaced and Christianity has ruled in the world. But we are now in a season where Christianity is being pushed out. And I want you to understand something. There's always a vacuum that's created when Christianity is pushed out. And that vacuum will always be filled by these gods that are very real. You call it mythology all you want, but it was based on real gods that they worship, and they're starting to come back in. Come on. They're starting to come back in. I saw this quote in National Geographic, of all places. It's reported that there is a significant increase in the worship of ancient pagan demon gods. National Geographic. Saying, quote, centuries ago, ancient Celts traveled windy moors to worship the horned god Sermunus. Ancient Egyptians crossed deserts to invoke the protection of Isis. Isis? Druids journeyed to a forest clearing to perform rituals under the moon. But over time, such deities faded into myth. The rituals went underground. Recently, however, a resurgence of interest in pagan practices, crystals and tarot cards, astrology, herbal magic, has brought paganism from the fringes back to the center of pop culture, or at least to the top of your TikTok feed. Come on. At least 1.5 million people in the United States identify as pagans, up from 134,000 in 2001. They range from Wiccans to Kemetics to TikTok witches and just plain heathens. It's growing while Christianity is fading. It is darkness. The church is light. Ye are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Come on. You say, well, I'm not seeing it yet. What you need to understand is the devil has what I'm going to call a dimmer switch. And he's gradually trying to turn down the light. And as he turns down the light, the darkness fills it all in. Come on now. Listen, they like to use, you okay out there? I know it's not my normal sermon, but I'm not your normal pastor. All right. They like to use what belonged to God, and then they twist it. Can we talk about rainbows? Soldier back in ancient times, when a soldier would retire, he would take his bow and hang it up. When God put a bow in the sky, he was saying, I'm not going to fight you anymore. I'm not going to flood the earth anymore. He hung up his bow. Well, the enemy has taken it down and is using it, twisting it as their symbol. It's interesting that God's rainbow has 7 colors, that other rainbow has 6. 7 is the number of perfection. 6 is the number of a man. It's the number of a man. Don't get confused. Worship the right rainbow. Come on. Appreciate the right rainbow. Can I get an amen? You need to understand. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Just look at, there's so many examples. Just look at Walt Disney. Disney had four values: safety, courtesy, show, and efficiency. That's what they lived by. In 2020, they added inclusion. They added inclusion. And when they did, they dropped shows out of their programming like Dumbo. That was dumb. Lady and the Tramp, The Jungle Book, Peter Pan. These were offensive. But they added a new cartoon called The Little Demon. And the little demon got pregnant by Satan. And her 13-year-old daughter became possessed by Antichrist. This is a children's cartoon that replaced Dumbo, because Dumbo was too offensive. Isn't that dumb? It's not really dumb, it's evil. You need to understand this new move is about wealth and power. It's interesting. We might even have a picture, but if you go to Wall Street in New York, you know what Wall Street is? That's the street where all the investors are. What is their symbol? What's their statue there? It's the bull. See it? That is the exact image that the ancient people used, and it was called Baal. Baal the bull. And there he is right on Wall Street. I think I need to sell my investments. I don't know. It's all about wealth. It's all about power. It's about these evil things coming back. Listen, COVID was an example of this. And I don't know what you think about all of it. Some of it was justified, but really it was a control thing. And it was setting us up for what they want to do. They want control of your wealth, and they want the power. Their goal is to tear down what is good. Their goal is to tear down what God has promised. Because if they can tear that down, they create a vacuum where these new gods, old gods, it's old gods, but the same gods are reemerging, and you need to be aware of it. So we get this conflict with Elijah. I want you to understand something. It's hard to build something. It's easy to tear something down. I don't know about you, but I love to watch home improvement shows. How many know within just a few hours they got the whole thing tore down? You know, it's a week-long project. One day, they tear it all down. That's the fun part. That's the easy part. But now you got to put it back together. And that takes the rest of the week. Come on. The devil has the easy job of tearing things down. We got the hard job of building things up and making them last. Elijah built an altar. And you know the story. I read it to you. It's not easy to build an altar. But he built it. And now he said, now that it's built, let the fire fall on it. You need to understand this was during a time of drought. They had gone without rain forever. And the streams had dried up. And you remember God had to feed Elijah with a raven because the water had dried up. The food had dried up. I mean, this was a serious drought, a serious famine. They needed rain. But first God had to send the fire. I want you to get this. The question people are asking is, how is it that President Trump escaped? I mean, if he had just not turned his head. I mean, I don't, you can like him or love him, but, or I mean, love him or hate him. I'm sorry. Freudian slip. All right. You know, but the thing is, from that moment on, he felt like God spared his life for a purpose. I mean, that's the way he feels. And it's true. If he hadn't turned his head, he'd have been dead. I mean, we all agree. So maybe we could say God spared him. So then why didn't he spare Charlie Kirk? Well, the president had one purpose. Charlie Kirk, hear me. Charlie Kirk was the fire. He was the fire. He was shot in the throat. His voice was cut off. I'm here to tell you, he was the fire. And after the fire, I didn't read this part of the story, but after the fire fell, it started to rain. Woo! I mean, it wasn't just a little shower. It wasn't just a sprinkle. It was coming down. Amen. And there's this Holy Ghost picture I have in my head decades ago. God, you know, God will give me certain things in a picture. And I see Ahab in his chariot with his horses. Yeah, yeah. And he's trying to get out because the mud and the rain. And he's trying to get out of there. And as he's going with his horses and chariot, here comes Elijah. He runs right past the chariot. That'd be like you going down the interstate and you look out the window and someone's going. How many know the only way to outrun a running horse is to be under the anointing and power of God himself. Come on and praise him, amen. Woo! I want you to notice something. Elijah talks to the people. He tries to persuade them. There's two kinds of churches today. There's the pastors and churches that exist and prosper because they know how to persuade people. But then there are churches who grow and succeed because they know how to operate in the power. The problem with persuasion is it's all about what's in your head. And what you talk people into, they can talk themselves out of. I'm not saying they're not saved, but there's too many people that have gotten saved because of an intellectual argument. They just decided it was better to be a Christian. But I don't know about you, when I got saved, it wasn't because I won an argument. It was because of the power of the Holy Ghost that I saw demonstrated. You see, the devil can't talk me out of this. I've shared this with you. This isn't in the notes. But I remember years ago, the devil got on my case, and he said, you know, really, I hadn't been saved very long. I guess it was decades ago. And the enemy told me, you know, all this Holy Ghost stuff, this is just emotion. I'm thinking, what? And then this speaking in tongues. That's just weird. Ain't nothing to that. That's just somebody's just working themselves up. I go, after thinking about that. And then he said, and have you ever really seen anyone healed? I mean, that people claim to be healed. By the way, has anyone ever been healed in this place? Woo! look at the hands. Well, maybe they just thought maybe it was really the medicine. Or maybe, But then the devil went too far. He went too far. He said, you know what? If all that's true, you probably aren't even saved. You probably aren't even saved. And I went, wait a minute. No one talked me into this. No counselor got me out of this. I know where I was. I know how deep I was. I know how far I was gone. I know nobody could help me. I know times were dark. I know I didn't get myself out of this. I got out of this because of the power of the Holy Ghost. And devil, if you lie about this, you're probably lying about all the rest of it. Woo! Fire is tough, but after the fire comes the rain. Give him a praise. How many remember Tim Tebow, quarterback? Back when he became a quarterback, I forget what team it was. The Gators. I thought it was something in Florida. There's no Gators in Minnesota, so that wasn't it. He wanted to put John 3:16 on his hat or his uniform somewhere, and they wouldn't let him do it. Now, you could take a knee. You could put anything else on your... You can have all kinds of sayings, support all kinds of extremist craziness, but you can't put a religious. So he wasn't allowed to put it on, but they put it out there. And I want you to get this. Within 24 hours, people began to go to the internet and search John 3:16. Now listen, Christians aren't going to go search. Is there even one person here today who doesn't know John 3:16? Let me see your hand. You don't know John 3:16. See, even if you didn't, you'd be embarrassed to raise your hand. Because you know you're supposed to know that. For God so loved, okay. So these weren't Christians going to the internet. Guess how many people in 24 hours went to the internet and looked up John 3:16? 70 million in one day. What the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. First the fire. And then the rain. 70 million people didn't know what John 3:16 is. They looked it up. They didn't just see it on his helmet. They looked it up. They saw it. They read it. They probably saw some explanation of what it means. Who knows how many said, you know what? If old Tim will stand for this, maybe I ought to get. Who knows how many of 70 million got saved that day? Take that, devil, you stupid. We like saying, the devil is a liar. Let's change that. The devil is a dummy. How many are with me? You need to understand something. How the enemy works. Real quick, I know it's late. Listen, not that late. The devil strikes preemptively. Anyone know what that means? Preemptively. He likes to take things out before they happen. So they tried to take Kirk out preemptively. I'm going to silence his voice. But instead of silencing his voice, they amplified. What did they have, 1,800 chapters in America, right? And it was like 35,000 applications for chapters. It didn't just double. I don't know what that number is. It quadmillionized. Hello? Sometimes God works through deliverance, like the president, and sometimes he works through death. I mean, his own death. It's interesting that Charlie Kirk, the word Kirk, is an old English name, old Norwegian name, actually. It was even, it's an old Viking name. I'm working it. They better be winning, I tell you. The word Kirk is where we get the word church. The attack on Charlie Kirk was an attack on the church. The place where he was shot, that city, it's called Oram, O-R-A-M. That's the city. When you look at the origins of that word, it means dragon or serpent. Where Trump was shot was in Butler. That word butler comes from the word cupbearer. And if you know anything about ancient history, the cupbearer was the most trusted, most important person in the court because he ate the food before the king ate it. He drank the drink before the king. In other words, he protected the king. And there he is in Butler, in the city of the cupbearer. I just thought I'd share that with you in case you think everything's out of control. No, everything's in control. Everything's under control. God is in charge. Ah, the rain, the fire has fallen, but now the rain is coming. Somebody praise him. Stand to your feet, praise the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah, God is good. Said I preached 32 minutes. By the way, I'm not lightheaded anymore either. Some of you might think I'm empty-headed, but I'm not. I don't know. You know, I hope you don't think I'm trying to bring politics into this. I'm really not. But how many know God sets them up and God puts them down? He's in charge of all this. We don't understand it. He was a good man. He shouldn't have been shot. There's actually extremists that were celebrating this horrible deed. I don't care who he is. You know, someone said, if someone on the extreme over there, extreme left, when something happens to one of theirs, they riot in the streets. When something happens to us Christians, we have prayer meetings. We don't riot in the. There was not one riot when Charlie Kirk was assassinated. No violence. Churches filled. There must be 200 here today. Churches started filling up. People started getting saved. God began to move. Mike and Kristen were just at a concert. I forget that guy's name. Brandon Lake. And Brandon Lake is saying he's never seen it like this. All of a sudden, his concerts are just packed out. And his concerts have turned from entertainment to worship. Kristen said, I've never seen anything like it in my life. It was an amazing experience. I heard they're going to be in Columbus. maybe October. Maybe we get a bunch of people and go. I don't know if it's too late. Anyway, God's on the move. Fear not. It may feel like fire at times, but it's fire first. And here comes the rain. Let it rain. Say, let it rain. Let it rain. Open. Open. I don't know if you realize it or not, but we have been under an open portal since worship started.